We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff continues his message, Striving for Spiritual Gifts, from the series Stronger, and encourages you to desire for God to use your gifts to build up others and exalt the Lord Jesus. Now, here's today's program.
I would say speaking in tongues is the God-given ability to pray or praise in languages or syllables not understood to the speaker or the hearers. That's what speaking in tongues is. It's the God-given ability to pray or praise in languages or syllables not understood to the person speaking or to the person hearing. That's what a tongue is. Now, could they be languages in some dialect? They could be. Could they be angelic tongues? Could be, based on 1 Corinthians 13:1. We don't know, but tongues are that. They're prayer and praise in languages or syllables unknown to the speaker or to those who are hearing. Now, for those that would say, because you're going to hear several people say, they don't exist today, they don't exist today, they don't exist today, let me tell you the arguments they're going to make. And I want to take a little time on this just because I want you to know I'm aware of all the arguments. I don't believe any of them, but you just need to hear what they are. The first one is this. There's an exegetical argument. There's this biblical argument that tongues no longer exist today. And usually where people go is one chapter behind in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And in verse 8, where Paul talks about the gifts of prophecy, tongues, and knowledge, here's what he says. If there are gifts of prophecy, they'll be done away. If there are gifts of tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, they will be done away. Now, here's an English lesson so that you know. It probably doesn't mean anything to most of you, but when he talks about prophecy and knowledge, he's talking about using a future passive. That's the type of verb tense he's using, which means this. At some point in time, something is going to act on prophecy. Something's going to act upon knowledge. And when something acts upon those, they'll stop existing. Something's going to act upon them. Well, we just read in that section, when the perfect comes, when Jesus comes, they'll be done away with. The way that tongues is talked about, when it says tongues will cease, that's a future middle. The middle is normally used to be like it'll act upon itself. So many biblical scholars will say, see, tongues had like a shelf life, like a battery life. It's going to start being done away with over time. It's why you see it less and less, and it's just not going to work. Here's the challenge to that. If you know the Greek language, you'll know that the word cease, there are certain Greek verbs that don't have a future passive. They only use a future middle. So for instance, in Luke 8:24, you'll read about Jesus on the sea, and it says this, and the winds and the waves ceased. That's future middle. It means they ceased themselves. Well, why did they cease themselves? Because Jesus rebuked the winds and the waves and said, be still. That's why. So it's a really weak argument to say that tongues have ceased based upon that one verse in the Bible when it's really not used that way anywhere else. Secondly, people will say this, it's too early of an epistle. It's one of the first epistles. It's one of the first epistles Paul wrote. And so what you see is it's really the only epistle in the New Testament that specifically addresses tongues. And the reason you don't see it in any further epistle is because it started dying out. That's why it doesn't exist. My counter to that would be this. 1 Corinthians is also the only book in the New Testament that specifically addresses the Lord's Supper and talks about the importance of the Lord's Supper. And we don't read about that in any further other books. And I don't think anybody would argue that we don't need to take the Lord's Supper anymore. It's still paramount to the church, okay? Third, it would be this. Some people say, well, Pastor Jeff, when it comes to earnestly desiring spiritual gifts, it's in the plural. Gifts are for the church. They're not for the individual. He's talking about the church, not the individual. Well, of course. But all of chapter 12, what is chapter 12 about? There is one body and yet what? Many members. And there are many members yet what? One body. So what are the gifts for? The gifts are for, yeah, the church. What's the church made up of? Individuals that receive different gifts. And we read in chapter 12, not everybody has every gift. Certain gifts people don't get. Certain gifts people do. Why? Because the Holy Spirit decides to dispense them in the way in which he wants to dispense them. And that's the purpose of gifts. Okay, so gifts are for the church. And how does God manifest himself? Through individuals that make up the body of Christ. That's what all chapter 12 is about. Fourth thing you'll hear people say is that, honestly, Jeff, you got to understand that tongues were a sign of judgment to unbelieving Jews who rejected the Messiah. So in Acts chapter 2, when you hear them speaking in tongues, it was just a sign that Jesus really was God and they'd risen from the dead and God was giving his judgment to those people. And there is some validity to that. But when you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, what's really hard to defend is in verse 4, Paul talks about tongues actually edify the believer. In verses 15 and 18, he talks about how he's going to continue to use the gift of tongues. And in verse 23, if tongues are really a sign for unbelievers, then why does Paul say when unbelievers are present, don't use the gift of tongues because they'll think you're mad? If tongues were truly only a gift for non-believers, we would want to use tongues every time unbelievers come to our church so that they would see the judgment that God has for them. It's not the only use of tongues. Number five, I'll tell you this. Some people say, I don't want tongues. It's too emotional. You can't control it. It's just an emotive thing. Nobody even knows what they're saying. Nobody knows what they're doing. Let me tell you something. I'm a very logical person. God is the God of logic, but God's also the God of emotion too. God created our emotions. There's nothing wrong with being emotive or emotional about that which you're passionate about. I mean, the day that I got married, when I can still remember what it was like with my wife walking down the aisle, I wasn't in a logical state. Like, I wasn't saying, oh, man, she really fits Proverbs 31 very nicely. Man, that is a nice dress. That fits very well. Oh, she did her hair today. Very nice. And when I was sharing my vow, I wasn't logical. I was emotive because I loved her. And there's nothing wrong. Nobody pulled me aside after the service and say, you know, I noticed that your eyes were a little bit moist when you gave your vows. That was a little too sappy for me. Nobody did that. Why? Because there's nothing wrong with being emotional about that which you love, okay? There's nothing wrong with being emotional as long as it's controlled by the Spirit. And then the final argument I hear all the time when it comes to tongues is this. Hey, pastor, if you talk about tongues, you're just preaching your experience. That's all you're doing. You're not rooted in the Word. Let me tell you something. I'm rooted in the Word. If I were teaching on evangelism and I shared stories about people I've shared the gospel with that have come to Christ, nobody would push back on that and say, oh, I don't believe that. You're just preaching your experience. If I talked about, hey, when I preach the Word, people are edified. Oh, you're just talking about your experience. But why is it if we talk about tongues, they're like, oh, it's just your experience. I could argue the same way back to you. You're just preaching your lack of experience and telling everybody they need to have the same lack that you do. Right? I mean, so at the end of the day, there's really no good arguments, in my opinion, biblically, that says that the gifts have ceased. Now, if you believe that, that's fine. Just make sure you believe it from God's word. Okay? I believe Paul is pointing out that gifts of tongues still exist in the church today. So let's talk about prophecy. What's that? He says in verse 3, but one who prophesies, speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation. So New Testament prophecy, what is it? It's not just foretelling. Here's what's going to happen. There's going to be a huge fire and flood. That's not it. It is a word that is spoken, that is known by the speaker. And instead of speaking to God, who are they speaking to? You're speaking it to other people for the purpose of edification, which I'm speaking this to build you up. For exhortation, I'm speaking this to help you take the next step of faith that you need to take. Or consolation. I'm speaking this, it should bring great comfort. Real prophecy, a lot of times, encompasses all three. It happens all the time. It can happen while a pastor is preaching. It can happen in your family. It can happen in a small group. It can happen at a restaurant where you speak a word. And sometimes you can be aware that you're doing it. Sometimes you may not be aware that you're doing it, where it brings comfort or edification and building or exhortation. And many of us as Christians we've experienced that in our life where somebody's talking to us on the phone or they've been around and they share something with us. And all of a sudden it was like, wow, that's just what I needed to hear. That makes me realize Jesus is alive and that was really comforting to me, or that helped me take a step of faith, or that was encouraging to me, right? That's what prophecy is. So the way I would define prophecy is this way. Prophecy is the God-given ability to discern and verbalize a thought that God has brought to mind for a person or a situation at hand, okay? It's the God-given ability to discern or verbalize a thought that God has brought to mind for a person or a situation at hand. It's when you're spending time with the Lord. And here's why I think these two gifts are really important, because I think both these gifts are a result of seeking the face of God in prayer. I think tongues are a result of seeking the face of God in prayer. I think prophecy is a result of seeking the face of God in prayer. So you have to know what God is doing in your heart in order to exercise these two gifts, okay? Now, people will say, well, prophecy doesn't exist anymore. And here's some arguments that you'll hear why prophecy does not exist. Number one is this. We have the word. We have the word. Why do we need prophecy if we have the word?
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Striving for Spiritual Gifts, from the series Stronger, encouraging you to desire for God to use your gifts to build up others and exalt the Lord Jesus. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, we want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
We have the Word. Why do we need prophecy if we have the Word? Let me just tell you what I believe about God's Word. I believe all 66 books are inerrant, completely inspired by the Holy Spirit. They do not need to be added to. They do not need to be taken away from. I believe in the Word. It's this book, this Word that's inerrant that teaches us that prophecy is important. Okay, so I have no problem when somebody says we have the Word. Number two is they'll say this, the canon's complete. I wholeheartedly agree with that. If somebody wants to add to this book and say, there's things that you don't know, Jeff, that I know about the world, I'd be like, I'm not taking that. The canon is complete. Number three, people will say this, prophecy is just too subjective. I mean, how do you really know? We're gonna talk about that in just a second, because prophecy can be subjective. I mean, how do I really know if that's a word from the Lord or if you just had bad pizza last night and you're just kind of making something up? I mean, how do you know? And so many people will then conclude, therefore, prophecy is not needed for today. I have the Word of God. Okay, it's just not needed. Here's why I believe prophecy is true, because the Word of God teaches that it's true. Here's why I believe it's true, because I believe people in the 21st century still ask the same questions people were asking in the first century. Like, there was no scripture in my Bible that said, marry Kim on this date. There was no scripture in my Bible that said, move to Denver and start a church. There was no scripture in my Bible that helps us understand specifically, should I take that job or that job? And what should I negotiate in my contract? And should I, is it time to have children or not? And how should I speak into my son? And where's the scripture on all that stuff? There's general principles. Sometimes the scripture is completely specific, but sometimes there's things that are going on in our life that I just don't know what. And prophecy can be used by the Lord, and I believe that it is needed today, right? So here's the thing. When it comes to this, I would say both gifts result from and are strengthened by prayer. And here's the other thing I would say. These are gifts. They are not a sign of spiritual maturity. Can I just be clear on that? They are not a sign of spiritual maturity. If you put somebody up here that had the gift of tongues and prophecy and somebody up here that didn't have either gift of tongue and prophecy, it doesn't mean that the person that has the gift of tongues and prophecy is more mature than the person who doesn't. As a matter of fact, the person who doesn't have those two gifts may be more spiritually mature. You say, well, how do I know who's more spiritually mature? The one who loves Jesus and loves others more is more spiritually mature. That's what it is. So gifts are not a sign of maturity. Whether you have a certain gift or don't, and here's the reason I say that, because while I believe all the gifts are operative, I do believe 1 Corinthians 12 points out, not everybody has every gift. And sometimes for people that say, hey, do you speak in tongues? Do you prophesy? If you say no, it's almost like, oh, you're not really a Christian or you're not really filled with the Spirit. No, it doesn't. It just means you don't have the gift, right? Paul tells us to earnestly pursue it, eagerly desire it. If he desires to give it to you, he does. And if he doesn't, he doesn't. But spiritual maturity is about exalting the Lord Jesus, wanting to build and love the body of Christ so we can advance the kingdom. Are we clear? All right? That's what he talks about. And here's the reason I say that, because a lot of times in church, you know, I was at a Rockies game earlier this year, and this has happened several times while I've been at games, but my son nudged me. It's the first time he ever saw this. But during the Rockies Cubs game this year, somebody jumped onto the field and started running. Right? And the fans were going a little bit crazy. And I don't know how you think when you see something like that happen. Some people are like cheering for the guy, wanting him to be a success. I don't know what success would look like, right? Other people are mad because he's distracting from the game. And then there's these people like me. I know I shouldn't say this, but in my heart, I'm like, dude, I hope somebody gives him a forearm shiver right in the mouth, right? And then he goes down, right? I mean, everybody's thinking, because why? This is a total distraction to what should be taking place. And oftentimes we talk about gifts in church, that's what we think. They're just distractions. Why waste the time? I'm not wasting time. I'm preaching to you 1 Corinthians 14, because if God thought it was important enough for us to talk about, they're not a distraction. They're actually for the team that's on the field to function even better than what the team currently is, if used properly, if submitted to the Lordship of Christ, if done in humility, it adds to our team. Amen? That's what he's talking about. And so when it comes to these gifts, desiring spiritual gifts, it's commanded by God. There's not only nothing wrong with you desiring these things, it's commanded. Desire them. And then trust that the Holy Spirit will give you the gifts that you need to have in the moment that you need to have them. Number two is this. Notice this. Gifts that edify the body of Christ are greater in value. Gifts that edify the body of Christ or gifts that build up the body of Christ, they're in greater value. Notice what Paul says. He says, one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. It's just a simple statement. He's not denigrating tongues. He's not saying tongues are bad, but he says when someone prays in a tongue because they don't know what they're praying, while they personally may be edified, nobody else is edified. So he's telling you that the most important gifts are the ones that build up the church. One who prophesies builds up the church, builds up individuals, builds up the body. Now, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. Really interesting for a guy that just got done telling them that not everybody has every gift, that's rebuking them for their selfishness. Why would he say, I wish you all spoke in tongues? Because he believes in the gift of tongues. He goes, I know you all won't, but I wish you all did. There's nothing wrong with the gift, but here's what he says. But even more that you would prophesy. And greater is the one who prophesies than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may receive edifying. What does it mean greater in value? It means this. It doesn't mean the person who prophesies is greater in value. It means the gift has greater value for the church, because if you understand what God is saying to the church, it builds up the church. If you understand what I'm saying to you, it builds up you. If you don't understand what I'm saying, it's of no benefit to you. That's the whole argument that he's now trying to make in verses 6 through 12. Notice what he says. But now, brethren, if I come speaking in tongues, what will it profit you unless I speak to you either by way of revelation or of knowledge or of prophecy or of teaching? In other words, if I don't have anything from the Lord to speak to you, a teaching, a prophecy, a revelation, or anything like that, then you're not going to benefit from it. It's a waste of your time. That's what he says. Yes, he says this, even lifeless things, either flute or harp, in producing a sound, if they do not produce a distinction in the tones, how will it be known what is played on the flute or in the harp? For if a bugle produces an indistinct sound, who will prepare for battle? In other words, he's saying, listen, it's like an instrument. How many of you have young kids that have started playing an instrument? That's a very painful experience if you've ever had. Like when you start, like there's a difference between a first chair trumpet and somebody who starts playing in the fourth grade. There's a distinction between the two, even though they're using the same instrument. And what Paul's trying to say is, how will you know it's time to get ready for battle if somebody's just blowing the horn? There's a difference between somebody in the military coming up here and playing reveille on the trumpet versus me picking out a trumpet and coming and trying to blow on one today. One would call people to attention, the other one would drive people out of the church. That's the point he's trying to make. Does that make sense? So he's talking about prophecy is important because people can understand what you're talking about. Tongues are important only to the extent that they could be interpreted by the body, but if not interpreted for the sake of the body, they're in less value when you gather corporately. That's what he's saying. So he goes on to say in verse 9, so also you, unless you utter by the tongue speech that is clear, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. I mean, nobody's going to know. If I'm speaking a language that nobody knows, I'm just speaking into the air. And that's what he points out in 10 and 11. There are perhaps a great many kinds of languages in the world and no kind without meaning. If then I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be to the one who speaks a barbarian, and the one who speaks will be a barbarian to me. In other words, here's what he's saying. If I speak to you in a language you don't know, you're going to think I'm a foreigner. If you speak as a foreigner in a language you know and I don't know, you'll be a foreigner to me. In other words, it is so important when we gather as a church that we understand what God is saying among us so that we can mature and grow in our faith. I mean, it's kind of like this. I mean, if I stood up here this morning and I got up here and the first thing out of my mouth was, Yesu ungale asir vradipar, right? Probably nobody would amen that, right? Maybe some would. But if you're from Southern India, you speak Tamil, you would know that I just said Jesus Christ is Lord, and you might say amen. But to the rest of you, you would be like, what the heck is he talking about? Or if you know Koine Greek, and I said, in arche en halagos koruxan tan lagan, you would know that I said, in the beginning was the word, preach the word, and you'd be like, amen, brother. But if you don't know Koine Greek, why would you care, right? Or if you're from the Netherlands and you heard me say, Toto jedem toridal nampan, you would say, yeah, this is the day the Lord has made. That's awesome. But if you didn't, you'd be like, what the heck is he talking about? Now, I had a young guy that heard me preach last night, and he's like, hey, why did you have to do three times? I mean, after a second time, I understood what you were saying. It kind of felt like the Jeff Show. I'm like, then you got the point, right? Because if I'm coming up here just blabbing stuff that doesn't make any sense to you, it has no benefit in your life. That's what Paul is saying. So in verse 12, he sums it up. So also you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church. In other words, if you're really zealous for spiritual gifts that you're being commanded by God, you should seek the gifts that bring the greatest exaltation to Jesus, the greatest gift to the body, and that's what you should be seeking. Not just individual gifts that are a blessing to you. That's what Paul is saying. Does that make sense so far? And so that's why he's talking about prophecy in tongues, and he's juxtaposing those. Now, it's really interesting because when Paul says in verse four, one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. Some people will say, well, that's why tongues are bad, because it just edifies yourself and it's not really good. Jude 20 says this, build yourself up in the most holy faith. That's edifying yourself. Like, there's nobody that would push back if I said, hey, I spent a lot of time this week just seeking the face of God in prayer. I was edifying myself. Nobody would be like, that's so selfish, Pastor Jeff. Or if I told you how I spent time this week in God's word and letting God study me as I was studying his word and was growing in his faith, nobody would say, oh, Jeff, that is so selfish of you to do personal Bible study. But when it comes to tongues, people are like, whoa, that's just so, it's not selfish, it's self-edifying, and there's nothing wrong with self-edifying, because I'm telling you, the more I pray, the more I know God's word, the more passionate I am for Jesus, the more I can be a blessing to the body of Christ. So some people say, well, are those gifts for today? I would say, yeah. So now that I've kind of laid a foundation, I want to share some stories today from my own life so that you can understand where I'm coming from, okay? So I got saved in the summer of 1989, okay? Wasn't familiar with tongues, wasn't familiar with prophecy, never been around it. If people would have talked about it, I would have kind of written them off as just freaky, weird people. I wasn't around it. I went to Promise Keepers in 1996 at a clergy conference in Atlanta, Georgia. And I didn't even know, I mean, I was a young guy and I didn't even know if they'd let me in. I thought you had to have like a pastor credential or something for to get in. I'm like, I'm just gonna go. And I ended up not only getting in, I sat in the first seat in the first row for 3 days. And several speakers spoke to my life, and it was great. And there was a guy by the name of John Maxwell. Some of you have heard him. And at the time, he was a pastor of a church in San Diego. And he told the story about a friend of his named Bill Clawson. And Bill had come into his church when John was a young pastor. And John was running a busy schedule. And John said to him, how can I help you? And he said, well, you can't help me. I'm here to help you. He's like, well, how are you going to do that? He goes, God's called me to pray for you every day to accelerate his work in your life. So John Maxwell went on to give his whole talk on prayer and the importance of having prayer partners in your life. And here's what he said. At the end of the message, he said, I just want you to turn around to somebody in the audience. I want you to pick a prayer partner that for the next 30 days, you'll just pray with. And so I started turning around. I'm like, who am I going to get? And I saw this white-haired gentleman that was sitting there combed all the way back. And it seemed like everybody was trying to crowd around him, like they wanted him. So I'm just kind of looking around. And he looked at me. He's like, I want you. I said, okay. So we went to sit down in these chairs, and he says to me, he goes, no, the intercessor always stands. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means, but okay. And he laid hands on me and began praying things for me from my heart that only I knew. And at the time, like I wanted to be a football coach. That's what I wanted to do more than anything in the world. I want to be a football coach. And I told the Lord I'd give him 2 years as a youth pastor, and then I was going to go on and be a football coach unless he called me to ministry. And that day in Georgia, as he laid hands on me, he started prophesying over what God wanted for my life and how he wanted me to be a pastor. And from Jeremiah started saying, you're going to be a pastor of pastors, and you're literally going to send people all over the world. That was 22 years ago.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Striving for Spiritual Gifts, from the series Stronger. He encouraged you to desire for God to use your gifts to build up others and exalt the Lord Jesus. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to bravepastorjeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.